Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic Session. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server System Management. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's Open Mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel of experts for the day. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to WebSphere Application Server System Management. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for live Q&A period. And finally, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Ganesan Kawupaya, WebSphere Application Server, L2 Support.
Hi, this is Ganesan Kawupaya, and I welcome everyone for this session. And hope this is going to be useful for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganesan. Next, we have Jack Brady, WebSphere Application Server, SM Development. Next, we have Kumaran Ayukuti, WebSphere Application Server, L2 Support.
Hi, everyone. This is Kumaran Ayukuti from WebSphere Application Server, L2 Support. Thanks.
Thank you, Kumaran. Next, we have Preston Law, WebSphere Application Server, L2 Support.
Hi, everyone. This is Preston Law. I have 3 years' experience in WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support, working in various areas of security, application deployment, and system management, and also install. Thank you.
Thank you, Preston. Next, we have Vikram Tomandru, WebSphere Application Server, L2 Support.
Good morning, everyone. I am Vikram Tomandru. I work in WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support. Thank you for joining today's Open Mic session. Thank you.
Thank you, Vikram. And finally, we have Rish Venkataramappa, WebSphere Application Server, SM Development.
Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Vishwanath Venkataramappa, and I've been with Systems Management Development for the last 8 years, and I've also been involved in doing Level 3 support for the last 8 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Vish. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Vikram.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Vikram Tomandru again. Thank you for joining today's Open Mic session in WebSphere Application Server System Management area. Today's system management topic includes WebSphere components such as WebSphere administrative tools like admin console, scripting tool, and Java management extension, configuration repository service, application management, application server, node federation, and removal process, synchronization service, discovery process, and so on. So I hope everyone will like this session, and feel free to ask any questions you have. We will try to answer our level best. So this is a good opportunity. So you can, you can submit any questions in the area, that we are mentioning, and so that, we will try to answer, all the questions that you have. Thank you. Back to Joseph.
Thank you, Vikram. We will now begin our question and answer session with questions that were pre-submitted to us before the webcast. We have a total of 6 pre-submitted questions. I will now hand the presentation to our panel of experts by moving on to question number 1 on slide number 5.
Hi, everyone. This is Preston Law. I'll take the first question here. The first question is, it seems like my node agent cannot be discovered even though it is running, because the administrative console shows it as unavailable. So basically, we have customers that have problems once in a while. They'll go into their console, and they'll be able to normally manage their node agent and their application servers, but for some reason, they see that in the console, it displays as unavailable. So we can go to the next slide here. And some of the things we can do here are check the server status for both the DMGR and the node agent, just to be sure that the server status returns the correct results. This will tell you that everything's working in the background and that there's only a problem maybe between the DMGR communicating to the node agent, and that may be why the communication issue's there. So the next step you'd want to do is make sure that your node agent can communicate to the DMGR machine. Sometimes there could be a network issue or a firewall or any number of problems in between the communication between the two machines. So a simple test is just to ping the node from the DMGR machine and then ping the DMGR from the node machine. If that works, then you're all set to move on. If not, then you know that there's a hostname resolution problem possibly, and you can work it through that way. Then you can go to the next slide, please. Tips and suggestions here. We have step one, keep host names in etc host file. Sometimes customers don't like to do this, but it's recommended to make sure that all the machines in your environment are mapped to their particular IP address in the etc host file on each machine. Say you've got two nodes that are each on a separate machine, and you've also got a deployment manager on its own machine. On each etc host file, you would want to list those three separate machines and the IP addresses associated with them, and this will help you from having any issues if, say, your DNS goes down or anything like that. This will help you. The next step, you can run syncnode on the node. So if, say, node 01 is having the problem on the console, you might want to try a syncnode command, which you would have to first stop the node agent and make sure that it's shut down, and you want your deployment manager running, and at that point you can run your syncnode command from the node agent. Then you can go ahead and start it up and see if you have any problems. Sometimes that'll fix it. If not, maybe your syncnode will fail and give you some kind of exception that may be the cause of your communication problem. And also, the next step would be to take a look at the system out log from the node agent and the deployment manager, and you'll just want to make sure that there's not any errors that kind of pop out and give hints as to what's going on here. I think you can go to the next slide now. Okay, so we're on to question number two. I'll take this one as well. This one is, my installed apps folder was wiped out. How do I recover it, and how do I prevent this from happening in the future? You can go to the next slide. Basically, what happens here are we have some related issues with deploying enhanced ear files, and while you're deploying an enhanced ear file, if you make a change to the ear name of the file that's different than what's in the application itself, there's some problems prior to 61021 and 60231. So you want to make sure that you're at those levels or you have an iFix for PK68220 if you're going to do anything such as change the name of your application while you're deploying it. That is a pretty common thing we see once in a while. And what happens is, say you've got 10 applications installed on your environment, they're all mapped to node 01, you may end up updating an application, one of those 10, and you may decide, you know, I think I want to change the name of this application. So you'll go ahead and change that name while you're doing the update, and it'll wipe out everything in the installed apps directory on the node. So at that point, you're kind of stuck and you have to redeploy all your applications. So you really want to be aware of these three APARs. That first one that's in regards to changing the name of the application. The second one is giving you the ability to run this option, process embedded config. So you can set this to false, and the default is true, but you can set this to false if you have this APAR added here. And that will allow you to deploy all your enhanced ear files without ever having this problem, because if we uncheck that when we deploy, then we shouldn't have any issues with getting the installed apps directory wiped out. So one thing, we could be at newer versions, 6.1.0.2.1, 6.0.2.31, or newer, or we can uncheck process embedded config on each deployment, or we can set this to false as a custom property. Then the last A part here, PK46606, was an update to the information center. You're going to want to be aware of that as well. If you go into the information center and look up information on updating applications, updating enhanced ears, there are some really specific instructions and steps on how to deploy so that you don't fall into these problems. Changing the name of the directory to install an ear can cause some problems, and also binary URL inside the deployment XML can also cause you some problems if you're not using them appropriately. You can go on to the next slide. The additional steps we can make here, just as a review of what I've basically already covered here, you want to uncheck process embedded configuration, or you want to set that system property for setting this to false as a default. The other thing is changing the name of an application. If you notice that that's causing you a problem, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you just want to uninstall the application and then install the application as a new name instead of just updating and changing the name while you update. The next one, do not change the install location of the ear while deploying. So changing the install location can also sometimes get you into this issue where your installed apps are going to be wiped out. Also, if you're at the newer versions, you shouldn't have any issues with this, but anything prior to the latest versions, we may have some issues out there still. And then how to recover. The only other thing left here to do, if your installed apps folder gets wiped out, just make yourself aware and figure out, okay, this is what happened, why it happened. Be aware of those APARs that I mentioned, and then you're going to have to recover somehow. So you're going to want to redeploy all those applications. You can basically take an ear file and just update the applications, and you're going to want to update those with the steps that I mentioned, especially if you're having problems where you uncheck the process embedded config and then leave all the other settings the same. And that should get you back and have all your applications back and installed apps. But again, you're going to have to do each and every application that got wiped out. You're going to have to re-update there. And I believe we can go to the next slide on to question number 3.
I'm taking this question. This is Vikram, by the way. Question is, if I connect to the Node-agent process from the AWS admin scripting tool in a deployment manager environment, is it okay to make some changes to the configuration? What can be done by connecting to the Node-agent process? Typically, in a Twitter deployment manager, the user will be able to connect to the Node-agent process using this scripting tool. But if you try to make any changes using the admin config object or even with admin app object or admin task object, the AWS admin scripting tool is intelligent enough which would not allow user to run any of those commands, which means even if you try to run any kind of admin config or admin app command against a Node-agent process, you will get an error message. You know, for example, if you are running some admin app command, you will get a message saying that application management commands will not run. Or even if you try to get some ID using admin config object, like, you know, for example, if you are trying to get some ID for Node agent or even for app server, you will get error message saying that the configuration service is not available. That is because you have connected to the Node agent process, not to the deployment manager. So if all the data in a network deployment manager environment is synced up between deployment manager and the app server node, which means whatever you have on the DMZR, so the same data resides on your app server node. So even if you try to make any, you know, any changes to the app server node configuration manually, so we do not recommend that, and even we do not support that, because so whatever the changes we have to apply, we have to use some kind of administrative tool, which means either admin console or scripting tool, and connecting to the DMZR process and then make the changes. so that you have, you know, the changes applied to the master configuration, which is running on DMZR, and then we can push, you know, that information to the app server node. The only commands that you can run by connecting to the node agent process is admin control commands. See, for example, if you want to turn on some kind of runtime trace, you know, for an app server or node agent process, you know, for some problem. So you can, you know, you can connect to the node agent process, you know, you can try to, you know, you can try to enable runtime trace on the given application server or node agent process. Or even if you want to get, you know, or if you want to check the status of your app server, yeah, you can do that. So which means you will be able to run only admin control commands by connecting to the node agent process. Yeah, that's all I have. And moving on to next slide. Question number 4.
Hi, this is Ken Ganesh, and I'll be answering this question. Question number 4. Can I federate the lower version of an app server profile into the higher version deployment manager, for example, V7? And the follow-up question is, are there any limitations with this topology setup? Please move on to the next slide. We'll see this one in detail. Mixed cell, it is supported. And that is, it is apart from the migration scenario. So if someone is having deployment manager V7 and they can federate lower version of another profile, for example, V60 or V61. So it is supported, and the lower version of the profile node agent, it can be managed from the deployment manager. But there are like few limitations in this scenario, and I want to go through this briefly. So always the rule is DMZR has to be at the highest level. If your deployment manager is V61, then you cannot federate V7 node. So deployment manager is V7, then yes, you can have a lower version of that another profile. And any new function that is introduced from the V7 that cannot be used in the lower profile. So if you have a mixed cluster, then you cannot have this any new feature from the V7. There are like other limitations that I want to go through that. And let us move on to slide number 15. Okay, here I listed like a couple of scenarios for the better understanding. For example, like we take this synchronization option in V7 deployment manager, and when you do the sync, only it pushes that V7 information to the V7 profile. And the lower version of the profile, they don't get this information. So, for example, like V7, we have a business level application, and you have a directory fetcher called PLA. So when you do the sync from the deployment manager, this VLA directory only it goes to that any of the V profile node. If you have like a V61 or a V64 node, that node agent will not receive this directory. So we have that filter. And the another limitation is in V7, we support multiple security domains. Like most of you are aware of that, V7, you can configure multiple security domains. And so like this is V7 specific function, and if you have a cluster which contains lower level app server, then you cannot have this domain for that particular cluster. That's a limitation. And another thing I want to point out, if you're working with the session and HTTP session object, we have another new functionality in V7 that is called IBM application session. That is only V7 feature. In the mixed cell environment, this particular session will not be available for the loyal, the V6 or a V61 node. And the other limitation is, like you already aware of that, the Java level and any WebSphere API that is the higher level, you cannot use that in a lower level profile. So the good practice is, if you want to bring your existing application to the new deployment manager and want to run it as it is, it's good. That's a good approach. And but one point you may want to consider migrating all the application to that V7. But to answer the question, yes, it is supported, and we have some few limitations. Go on to next question number 5. slide number 16, please. Question 5. I have V7 deployment manager managing V61 node. And V7 deployment manager, and I have a job manager, like V7 deployment manager is registered through the job manager. Now the question is, can I submit job from the job manager to the V61 node? I will explain this one in detail in the answering part. Let's move on to slide number 17. Here, like, I try to put this scenario in a picture so you can have a better understanding. Deployment manager is, we have a deployment manager V7 cell, and in that cell we have a V61 and also V7 node agent. And so V7 deployment manager managing V7 plus V61. So that's a supported scenario. But if you look at the top, the V7 itself registered with the job manager. That's another profile. We have a new feature in V7. So deployment manager is all, it's registered itself in the job manager. So if someone wants to submit a job from the job manager to the V61 node, can they do that? Yes, they can do. Because, like, for a job manager, it is going to submit the job through the V7 manager, and already we know V7 deployment manager can manage lower version of the node. So the job manager submits the job through the V7, so that job can be executed. And so that's the answer, yes, this job can be submitted and there is no restriction. And also, like, the right side, I put, like, the another few pictures just to make sure that how standalone app server profile works with the admin agent and all the way to the job manager. For that, to register any of the lower version V61 or a V64, you cannot register with the V7 admin agents. So that's a limitation. But if you want to manage something lower version, bring that to the deployment manager and manage through that. And that's answer to the question number 5. Now let's move on to slide number 18.
Yeah, this is Kumar Anayakuti. I'll be taking this question. Question number 6, slide 18. Why does the node agent process restart my application server in my cell environment? How do I prevent this from happening in the future? So before I answer this question, probably I can give a little bit overall big picture of how the monitoring policy works. So let's move on to slide 19. Okay, there are a couple of ways we can monitor the application servers in the WebSphere application server environment. Either you can use your operating system or Windows services, or you can use something called monitoring policy in WebSphere application server. So we recommend using the operating system or Windows services to monitor deployment manager or node agent or the standalone application servers, not the application servers which was federated to the deployment manager. I can tell you the reason why. So when you monitor the application servers in this ND environment, the operating system will be restarting your app servers in case of any failure. And when you reboot your system, it will try to start both your node agent and application server at the same time. But in WebSphere application server, the node agent has to be running in order to start the application server. So there will be a failure when you use the operating system or the Windows services to restart your application servers automatically. So as I said, your node agent has to be running all the time in order to start the application server. So we have a feature called monitoring policy to have better feature in this. In the monitoring policy, the node agent will be monitoring all the application servers, actually. So in the left-hand side of the slide, we have options like maximum startup attempts, ping interval, ping timeout, and automatic restart. So all these settings, we set it for each and every application servers. So for each and every application servers, we can set this monitoring policy. For example, let's take server 1. Under server 1 monitoring policy, we set maximum startup attempts at 3, and ping interval as 60. This is all the default values, actually. And ping timeouts as 300 and automatic restart is checked. So this node agent will be monitoring this server 1 server now, and it pings the app server server 1 every 60 seconds by default to see the app server is live. And if it is live, it will go back to sleep, and after 60 seconds, that's every 1 minute, it will be pinging the app server. If the app server, if it does not respond to the ping, it will go to the ping timeout for 300 seconds, which is 5 minutes, and then it will try to ping one more time and see if it is up again or not. If not, node agent will decide, okay, the app server is hung or something with the app server, and node agent will try to restart the app server. And if you want this feature to be enabled, the automatic restart to be checked, if you disable it, node agent will not be monitoring the app server. And it will try to restart the app server 3 times, that is your maximum startup attempts, 3 attempts. If it can't start in 3 times, it will just give up. And the node restart state, there are 3 options in the node restart state. Either it can be stopped or running or previous. If it is set to stopped, when you restart the node agent, it will never try to start the application server. If it's set to running, always when you restart your node agent, it will automatically start your application server. So you don't have to set your application server in the Windows services to start automatically. So you just set your node agent to start automatically in the Windows services. So once the node agent is up and with the node restart state to set to running, it will node agent will start all your app servers automatically. And there is one more option called previous. So the node agent will be registered with the previous state of your app server. So when you reboot or restart your node agent, it will know the state of your app server before you shut down the node agent. So it will bring it back to the previous state of the application server. So this is one of the major important stuff with the monitoring policies on the application server. So now let me answer to the actual question, why does my node agent restart my application server? So with this option set, the monitoring policy set to the application server in the application server. So node agent, as I said, node agent will be monitoring the application server all the time. Every 60 seconds it will ping. In case of crash of your application server, node agent restarts immediately. It thinks, okay, the PID itself is not there. I'm monitoring the application server. Let me start the app server. That is one case. Another scenario is if there is any issue in the network level, even though if it is on the same machine where your node agent and application servers are running on the same machine, it all the socket connection it will create and it will ping and all those stuff internally, all the network communication. If there are any issue in your network on your machine, then node agent will be restarting the app server. So the app server will be sending a signal back, some IO exception or it can be any exception. So node agent will immediately restart the app server thinking there is some issue with the app server. In case of hang, app server hang, node agent will wait for some time, like first ping, it will ping, and that's one minute, every 1 minute it pings. And if it does not get any response in a minute, then probably it will go to the sleep and it will wait till the ping timeout for 300 seconds, which is 5 minutes. Then it will try to ping again. If there is no more response, it kills the app server and restarts the application server. So these are the ways like the node agent will be restarting the app server. If you don't want your app server to be disturbed by your node agent, you just disable the monitoring policy so that node agent will not be restarting your app server. But it is your responsibility to make sure the node app server is back up or you have to monitor by yourself. So if there are any more questions, I know it's kind of it's a big topic. We cannot be completing it. If you want to go in deep or if you have any specific question on this, probably you can ask in the QA session. And we can move on to next slide, and I'll be handing over the presentation back to Joseph.
At this point in time, Kathy, we would like to open the line for live Q&A period.
Dr. Rodan, you may ask your question.
This is regarding the last segment of the presentation on the node agent restart in the JVM. Now, if I try to tell it, if my JVM is hung and I try to tell it and then the agent restarts it, so the monitoring policy, is that as good as restarting the JVM manually?
Okay. Is that
the end of your question?
The end of the question was, is it allowing the node agent to restart it in itself because of the monitoring policy, is that as good as restarting the JVM yourself?
Okay. I'll go ahead and repeat that question so that everybody can hear a little clearer. You're just asking, is it as good as restarting manually if your node agent finds that your application server is hung and the monitoring policy then automatically restarts that application server? Kumaran, I think you can go ahead and answer this one since you just went over this area.
Yeah, sure. So it is better node agent monitors your app server because you will not be knowing when your app server is going to be hung. For example, if it is the middle of the night on your production server, and if it is a hung, no one will be restarting. Even the operating system or Windows services, I don't think it will be. When it crashes, it may restart. But if it is in a hung situation, it will be just waiting for the PID. It may not be restarting your server. So it would be better to set the monitoring policy so that node agent can see if the server is hung or it's not responding so that it can restart the app server. But if it is a real hung situation and if the node agent cannot even stop the app server, right, and there is a parameter called sick kill parameter, it sends a signal to kill the app server, actually, and so that it can kill and it can start the app server. And probably I have my development also on this call, and he wants to add a little more into it. John, Jack, I mean, can you just add more into it?
Yeah, I just you kind of covered it towards the end there, but the what the node agent does is if the auto restart is enabled, the node agent will issue a stop command on the process. So the process, the JVM process is stopped, and then it will be restarted. So it's pretty much it's essentially the same thing as manually stopping and restarting. I wouldn't think there's any differences there. I've never encountered anything like that.
My question was more towards if I kill it myself, and then I notice that the node agent is restarting it, should I allow it to go ahead and restart it, or can I just continue to build a new instance and restart it manually, or does that make a difference?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last, but you were fading in and out, but it sounded like if you kill it on purpose?
Correct.
The node agent should detect the difference between it being stopped, like a stop command, if you do a stop on the server, stop server command, versus a kill. I think the kill will look like it actually went down unintentionally and will probably try and restart it.
If that's what's happening, it's trying to restart it. And the question is, should I allow it to restart it, or should I continue to kill the new instances and then restart it manually? Is there a difference?
There shouldn't be any difference. I'm just curious why you're killing it as opposed to stopping it.
Well, because the stop command would not spawn because the JVM is on.
So if you did a stop server command, it wouldn't stop?
Correct. The JVM is in a state of in a hung state. I have to kill it with a -9. And
okay.
Then the node agent detects that it went down and tries to restart it. And should I allow it to restart it, or can I just go ahead and kill the new instances and then start it manually?
Yeah, there shouldn't be any difference between the node agent restarting it and you manually restarting it.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, our next question comes from Anira Gupta.
Yeah, this is Anurag Gupta from Physicians Mutual. I just have a question kind of similar to previous question. And it is, in our case, we have seen our application server was still up, but node agent still tried to restart it a couple of times. So probably it might be because of some network issue. So what to do in that case? Because what happens is when server is already up and node agent still tries to restart it, there's some kind of contention, and then at that time we start facing the problems. Why it happens and what to do in that kind of case?
Okay, so I'll just repeat your question just so that we can make sure we heard you correctly. Basically, you've got your application servers getting automatically restarted, but for some reason the node agent doesn't understand that it's up and running, and it continually tries to stop and restart it. So I'll let Jack from development take care of this question.
Okay. Because the node agent is monitoring it, if you know the auto restart is enabled, as was mentioned in the presentation, the node agent is pinging the server by making a SOAP connection across the network and doing an isAlive request. If it doesn't get any response back in the time period that it waits, it will try a second time. And if both attempts fail to make a connection to the app server, it will deem that as the app server is hung or dead or whatever, and we'll try to restart it. We've seen some of these issues in the past. Something in the network may be slowing things down and it takes longer to get a response. We've also seen where the node agent threads get backed up because of resource contention, and that prevents the responses from occurring in a timely manner. So those might be some things you'd want to look at to see if the node agent is operating normally. It may be a case where you can't tell and you might have to call into level 2 and open up a PMR so that we can take traces and Java cores and take a look at some of those things as to maybe what's causing it.
Okay, but does the node agent really cleanly stop the application server or not? Or does it just try to start it again? What I'm trying to ask is, will the node agent cleanly stop the already running server, or will it just make an attempt to start it only?
No, it will try. It will issue a stop command.
Okay.
And if it thinks that the app server is hung as in the process of stopping, it will actually issue a kill command.
Okay.
Master Radan, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This is me again. The question is, at times I see HPROF files generated, and they happen after the fact. What does that mean to me? And how can I analyze them? They're huge files.
Okay, the question is, you're getting some HPROF files generated, and you're not sure why, and they're very large, so you just want to understand what the issue is with that.
Correct.
Okay, Kumaran.
Oh, thanks, Preston. So, where do you see that HPROF? Is it under any WebSphere application server folder, or it's somewhere outside?
Actually, it's under the installation root.
Installation root.
And I'm sorry, not the installation root, but at the profile, at the profile level.
Is any of your server hanging or any issues or any crash, or do you know of anything?
Well, I couldn't really tell because I found out after the fact. It's an old file, apparently.
Okay. Do you see any Java core or core files also in there, or just the HPROF file?
No core files.
Okay. So we need to know who generated it. If it is under WebSphere application server, then it should be any of the application server or node agent, or it could be from the deployment manager. So probably you can open up a PMR and you can send us this file and the timestamp. If you have the timestamp, for example, if it happened on Monday, right, last Monday, so if you have the logs on that Monday from the application server node agent, along with that, if you can send the HPROF file also.
I know for a fact it is from the WebSphere application server, because of the user who runs it, and the file has the user ID.
Okay, this is Ganeshan. So what else it has? Have you reviewed the content of the file? Like, it's something like... Yeah, because the reason I'm asking is normally, like, this kind of information, the core and Java core, all these files, it's... when we are working on a crash or a hang, JVM, then we go through this file. So if you notice like any JVM is crashing or like the hang, then or if someone is doing some action like purposely creating those files for some debug purpose, so only with that we can relate. If any JVM is related, yeah, definitely we can relate with that as looking at the file and other logs.
Okay. So you're suggesting that I send it to IBM?
Yeah, exactly. You can open up EMR and you can say, okay, hi, this is a file that for under this particular directory, then you can send it with the supporting logs, and definitely we can take care of it.
Okay. Because the file seems like it looks more of a binary file.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
At this time, I show no further questions.
Thank you, Kathy. Now, we do have a question in the group chat session. So I'm going to be announcing the question verbally. Hopefully, our panel of experts will be able to answer the question. So here is a question from Ivan. I see a lot of FFDC messages on system out. Is this something that I should be concerned about?
Yeah, this is Kumaran again. I mean, if you see more messages in the FFDC logs, I mean, it's only for IBM debugging purpose. You really don't have to worry much unless you see some change in behavior of your application or application server. And if there are any exception is generated with your application or application server, it will be dumped usually in the system out or in system error log files actually. So FFDC is mostly specific to our debugging purpose, S3 application server debugging purpose. So you, as I said, like if there are any issues you see with your application or application server or not communicating or anything like that, then at that time probably if there are no other messages, we can look at the FFDC and see and look for any clue. Other than that, you really don't have to worry much about it. And there are some options, like you can set the parameters. There are FFDC.run, FFDC.stop, and all the properties under the properties folder. Even you can change all the features so that it won't generate for each and every warning messages also. And even it can be cleaned every day and all those stuff. So if there are any further questions, you can ping in the group chat if you have issue with the phone so that we can further answer to your question. Thanks, Joseph. Joseph, do you have any other question in the...
Thank you, Kumaran. We do actually have another question, and the question goes like this. In the monitoring policy of Node Agent, we try interval. Default is 3 seconds. Are there any performance problems with this? For example, having the Node Agent pinging the server every 3 seconds.
Yeah, I can take this question, Joseph. Actually, it is not 3 seconds, actually. It's a 60 seconds ping interval. So the Node Agent will be pinging the app server every 60 seconds. So that is the default value. If you don't want more overhead to the system, we can increase to 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It's all like how your system behaves, actually. Like if your system is in very good condition, there is no network issues or anything like that you are aware of. So you can make it little more longer, like instead of 60 seconds, probably can make it to 3 minutes or something like that. Other than that, I mean, if you reduce the value to 30 seconds or 10 seconds, it's going to be more overhead to the system, and there is going to be more network issues. So it's better not to set lesser than 60 seconds, and they can go up to 2 or 3 minutes, actually. It's all up to the customer's environment, how they want to set it, actually. If it is specific to retry attempt, if you're talking about the 3 is specific to the retry attempt, and Node Agent will try to restart the application server 3 times, like your Windows services, if you set you are to monitor the app server, if you just go and kill the app server, it will try to start 1 time and 2 times, 3 times. It's kind of like that, actually. So the Node Agent will try to start the app server 3 times, and if it can't start in that 3 times, it will just give up. And you can change that to 5 or 10, but I don't see any reason why we want more than 3 times, because if it can't start in 3 times, there is definitely some issue with application. And always better to have a look at the system out log of the app server and the Node Agent to determine what is really going on. I hope that answers the question. And back to you, Joseph, if you have any further questions related to this, and you can ping in this, or you can let us know.
At this time, I show no further questions.
Thank you, Kathy. At this time, I would like to move on to slide number 22 and pass the presentation over to Vikram for a summary of today's session.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, everyone, for attending today's session and giving us opportunity to answer your questions in the WebSphere Application Server System Management. I hope everyone found this session much helpful to your day-to-day admin activity. I also want to let you know that we have a WebSphere Technical Exchange. It's a complete presentation. It's coming up sometime next week. The topic name is WebSphere Application Server Cluster, where, you know, we're going to talk, the speaker is going to talk about, you know, more the in-depth of, you know, the cluster and its templates, some basic troubleshooting tips, you know, in the cluster environment. So please join if you are interested. And also, we are planning one WebSphere Technical Exchange in the WebSphere Application Server Monitoring Policy, as well as basically it's going to be like WebSphere Application Server Monitoring. Like, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the feedbacker, all that stuff, even in a base install, you know, how you can set up, you know, your app server with the Windows services or maybe with your Unix operating system. So we are planning one on that. And please, you know, stay with, please check our WebSphere Technical Exchange website for all the updates. And thank you again for joining today's session. Back to Joseph.
Thank you, Sigmam, for a great summary. At this time, we will conclude the OpenMind session.